Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. And as I promised, Matt Arnold sitting in for Jess. Jesse will be back tomorrow. Matt, thanks for doing the good work you do, my friend.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be here, Terry.
Well, it's mutual. And today I have a special guest in the second segment, Father Kirby. He has a nine-minute little presentation, a little homily about priest formation and how important it is to give priests good formation and how there's a crisis in that. And I thought, he's a seminary professor, he should know, and I just think he nailed it. So I think you're going to enjoy that. Also, we're going to be covering other issues of the day, and we will be talking a little bit about the situation in Nigeria. School kids, they've been abducted in broad daylight, hundreds of them. And I just want to, I really think the church in Nigeria, when you got 95% of the Catholics going to Mass every Sunday, they're doing something. And I think it's the word persecution that's happening in there. And I want to talk about that and much, much more. But before we get into all that, we always say, let's bring on some soul food when Jesse's here, and that's the gospel. And Matt, these readings right now from the Gospel of John are really rich. So if you could be so good to read that gospel for today, Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 31 to 42, I'd appreciate that.
Happy to. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. Mm-hmm. How can you say you will be free?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if the Son frees you, then you will be truly free. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me, because my word has no room among you. I tell you what I have seen in the Father's presence. Then do what you have heard from the Father." They answered and said to him, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your father." So they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." And Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, boy.
Yeah, boy, there's an awful lot there, isn't there?
It really is.
And but I wanted to zero in particularly on the very first verse, as he says, that you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Amen.
And we were talking yesterday about how, well, really on my program and in my guest shots here, that I've been really trying to follow the advice of John Paul II regarding, keeping your faith in the third millennium, which includes studying both scripture and the catechism. And I long ago decided that the catechism is probably your best Bible study aid.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's a sure representation of the faith. And so I went to look up that what is freedom in Christ? Mm-hmm. You know, I went to ask that question, and I went to the catechism, and what did I find? Well, that freedom in Christ is about the liberation that comes from being united with him through faith and baptism. It means being set free from sin and the bondage of the law and the power of evil, and living in accordance with God's will and the teachings of Christ. So, you know, the catechism teaches that Christ's redemptive work on the cross is what brought about freedom for humanity, right? Freedom didn't start in 1776, okay?
Right.
And it's not going to depend upon who wins the next presidential election. It's through his death and resurrection that Christ conquered sin and death and redeemed us all and made it possible for us to achieve salvation. He offers salvation, right? That's unfortunately, salvation isn't guaranteed the way redemption is. Mm-hmm. So freedom is the power rooted in reason and will. Now, this is you know, just the philosophy of Aristotle through Aquinas, and it's in paragraph 1741 of the Catechism. Freedom is the power rooted in reason and will to act or not to act, to do this or that, and so perform deliberate actions on your own responsibility.
Wow.
Okay, so freedom in Christ isn't a license to do whatever you please.
Yeah. Well, Matthew, let me jump in and just say, St. John Paul II, in 1987, was at the New York Stadium, Yankee Stadium, and I'm going by my memory, okay? But he said something to the effect, I think he was quoting, he says, freedom isn't what you want to do, it's what you should be doing.
That's precisely it. I mean, and it is a product of your own free will. You choose, right?
Yes.
So like I say, so it's not a license to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's about having the ability to live in accord with the truth and to choose the good.
Amen.
It's freedom to love God and to love your neighbor and to live virtuously and follow the moral teachings of the church, right? Anything that impinges on that, that's what you have to worry about in regard to your freedom. And your freedom isn't limited to external actions. It also encompasses the interior disposition of the heart and mind.
Yes.
You were talking about 90% of Nigerian Catholics go to church.
Yeah, 95.
Yeah, well, 95. And does that have to do with the fact that everything's the way that the church would like it to be in Nigeria? Obviously not.
No.
Right? So the catechism, the point is that the emphasis is that true freedom isn't found in any kind of self-centered pursuit or the pursuit of pleasure.
Yeah.
Right. But in selflessness, right? In
yes. Self-freedom
that imitates Christ.
And, you know, Matthew, go on this, because it just makes me fit right into what Bishop Sheen's going to do with the quote regarding sacrifice and penance with freedom.
Well, very good. And we're closing in here.
No, keep going, because I want to tie this in to Fulton Sheen's quote of the day. But you have more to say about freedom. So continue, please.
Well, again, looking at the catechism, you go down to paragraph 1733.
Yep.
And it says, the more one does what is good.
Yes.
The freer one becomes. The more that you do good, Terry, the more that I do good, the freer we are.
Wow.
And why is that? Because it says there is no true freedom except in the service of what is good and just.
Wow.
It's the choice to disobey and do evil. That's the abuse of freedom that leads to the slavery of sin. That's what Jesus was trying to get across to his audience in the gospel today.
Wow. I'm sorry. I'm looking at my Life of Christ book I was reading this morning. And with Father Charles Murr, and that freedom, I won't go into the Life of Christ on it because we don't have time, but it's just so many things are going through my head as you speak about freedom. It's just amazing.
Well, it is. The whole point about freedom from Christ, even if you're, there's the old saying that a man who is virtuous is free even if he's a slave, and a man who's a sinful is a slave even if he's free.
Yeah.
Right? Because freedom is about the being free from the power of evil and from the influence of sin.
Go ahead. No,
you
go ahead, my friend. I want to hear more about it, but you just keep your comments are just rushing. And I hope they're doing it to our listeners too, because this is a very important topic.
Well, and while we're talking about Lent, of course, we're in the dog days of Lent. We're about to next week's Holy Week.
That's right. Work to change the world. Yes.
Yeah. And it's like, so there's an emphasis, of course, on going to confession.
Right.
At this time of year. And that's one of the ways that we, after baptism, that's how we experience the forgiveness of sins. That's how we're reconciled with God. And being reconciled with God is what restores to you the freedom to live in communion with him and to grow in holiness. And that, of course, that was the whole point of Vatican II, the universal call to holiness.
Yep, for us.
So,
wow.
Ultimately then, I mean, just freedom in Christ isn't merely personal or individualistic freedom.
Right.
But the freedom that is lived in communion with others.
Well said.
It seeks the common good and promotes the well-being of everybody.
Everybody.
It's freedom that's, but it must be exercised responsibly.
That's
right. And I'll say this, just the farting shot. Freedom in Christ is liberation from being, or liberation that comes with being united with him through faith and baptism. Mm-hmm. Involves being set free from sin and the bondage of the law and the power of evil. Freedom to live in accordance with his will and the teaching of Christ, choosing the good, loving God and others. And it is absolutely not, no matter what you hear on TikTok, a license for self-indulgence, exactly. But it's something that is only exercised responsibly in communion with others.
Wow. And we're going to talk about the smartest guy in the room coming in right now, Archbishop Sheen. Full Sheen ahead. It ties right into love and responsibility. It's on sacrifice and penance. Bishop Sheen says, unless there is love, sacrifice and penance will be felt as an evil, but not when love is there. So parents, you know, the language of love is sacrifice. So what are we willing to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him? And that's Jesus Christ. So those two go together. You can't have love without sacrifice.
Amen. Well, sacrifice is about putting somebody else's needs before your own.
You got it.
That's what sacrifice is.
Hey,
Jesus didn't have to die on a cross.
Exactly. I want to mention, folks, I'm not if people are still picking up the recordings from the Spiritual Warfare Conference. You're welcome to go to vmpr.org. You can download the recordings of the talks that we had with Father Chad Ripperger, Bishop Strickland. If you go to our YouTube channel, you can see the Mass we had Sunday night with Bishop Strickland on his homily. Lots of good things. When we come back, Father Kirby, seminary professor, is going to give us a 9-minute talk on the formation of priests and what we need to do to have holy priests. And boy, do we need holy priests. Stay with us, family. We'll be back after a quick moment on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we come to understand. According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
This is a Lenten Minute from Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
The grace of God trains us to renounce godless ways and worldly passions, and to live temperately, uprightly, and devoutly. Titus chapter 2, 11-12. According to Saint Vincent of Paul, the Spirit of Jesus Christ is a spirit of righteousness and sincerity. All who are called to glorify this saving God must act in accord with that Spirit. Lord Jesus, grant your people the grace to act in accord with your Spirit of righteousness and sincerity. Enable us to reject godless ways and worldly passions in every form. Saint Vincent, pray for us.
This has been a Lenten Minute from Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Terry Barber here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I'm encouraging people to support realestateforlife.org. They'll have a pro-life agent for you. California's laws for the family are really bad. If you have a young family and you can afford to get out of California, get out and make a new life somewhere where you're not going to have the repressive laws. For example, if your son wants to change his sex and you don't want that to happen, the school can take your child away from you. Yes, that's how bad it is, folks. That's why I'm encouraging you to go to realestateforlife.org. God bless you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold filling in for Jess Romero. This is going to be an incredible homily, but it's made for priests and bishops. And this is Father Kirby saying, this is what we need to do to correct the problems in our church. It's called the clergy, because the way the clergy, holiness in the clergy, will bring back holiness in the laity. So let's play the clip, and then we'll talk about what he has to say.
Someone asked me, they said, Father, could you explain to me, this is a prominent member in our church who's doing great work for the Catholic family. And she asked, Father, explain to me the American hierarchy. who are her worst enemies, a woman who is fighting for the family according to Catholic teachings. Tell me, explain to me the Catholic hierarchy. They should be my greatest supporters and advocates. I said, well, have you heard of this person who's running for president? You know, the one who wants to kill babies. And she said, of course I have. I said, well, just imagine that instead of pursuing politics, he had become a priest. And imagine that he had been ordained a bishop. That is the vast majority of the American hierarchy. That is where their faith is. That is where their understanding of dogma is. The four last things, their understanding of heaven. It explains so much, doesn't it? Why are our bishops so silent? Why do the leaders, the shepherds whom we want to shepherd us, why do not they not be, speak so boldly? Why do we not hear from them? The devils of hell should most fear the office of bishop, priest, and deacon. Because those men who hold that office, their souls are transformed, molded, and shaped by grace. We believe as Catholics, a special character is given to a priest, a deacon, or a bishop for the sole purpose to fulfill that office of shepherd well and faithfully. All that grace, and it's squandered. It just sits there. Where are the voices of our heralds? Where are our saints? We have some good bishops among us and some amazing priests and some wonderful deacons like Deacon Doc. But today we celebrate the feast of St. Charles Borromeo. And he was a great reformer because he chose to be. None of the other bishops wanted to be. If you know your church history, you'll be aware that we had this great council called the Council of Trent. It reformed the church. It was our response to Protestantism. What we don't know is that there was actually a council before that called Fifth Lateran. It was in the year 15, shortly after the 1505, 1507, and so on. And it called for reform. It called for a change in the clergy. It called for a clarification of doctrine. But there was no Charles Borromeo at Fifth Lateran. And the bishops went home after they wrote all these great documents, and none of them did anything. And guess what? October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther begins the Reformation, the revolution against Mother Church. And the greatest struggle is that in terms of the life of the church, he was completely right. Theologically, completely wrong. In the life of the church, completely right. If we had had reformers in Fifth Lateran, we would never have had the Protestant Reformation. The greatest scandal to the world today. That the Christian faith is treated as if it's some type of ice cream shop. You can go and just pick the flavor you want. Oh, I like gay marriage. I think you should kill babies. Okay, I'll become an Episcopalian. Huh? Oh, I think it's okay that married couples look at pornography. I think it's okay that gay people are parents and adopt. Okay, I'll become a Methodist. Don't become a Catholic. They're crazy. Oh, wait, you know what? None of them believe that anyway. I'll become a Catholic. You laugh. You laugh. So do the devils. Our church has become a joke. The Christian faith has become a joke. The faith that was literally given to us by the wound of our Lord's side as blood and water gushed forth. This is the most important message ever given to the human family. It is the message by which we are saved, by which we will be spared from hell, which we deserve. It is a powerful message. But imagine if we had never had Protestantism. If there had been reformers at Lateran 5, but there weren't. And then here comes Trent. No one wanted to. The bishops didn't want Trent. It was the leadership, the national leadership, it was the emperor and the kings who demanded for a council of reform because they got tired of the corruption of the bishops. And they were the ones who insisted. That's why it took so long to convene Trent, and why Trent lasted for so long. And then right after Trent, what happened? All the bishops went home, and no one did anything. The entire north of Christendom was lost by Protestantism. The Muslims are attacking from the east, and the bishops just go home and they worry about their secret wives and their plush palaces and their fine clothing and their wonderful food. No joke. Except Charles Borromeo. Charles Borromeo went to his archdiocese in Milan and he saw the church, the bride of Christ, wounded and broken and hurt. And he fulfilled his responsibility as a baptized Christian and as an ordained bishop. And he preached reform. He wrote the Council of the Catechism of the Council of Trent in order to teach the faithful the faith so that they might be spared from superstition. He demanded holiness among his clergy, so much so that some of them tried to kill him. He created the first seminary, which Trent had called for because the clergy were woefully ignorant and did not know how to properly celebrate the sacrament. Charles Borromeo went and he did what the Holy Spirit was asking through the Council of Trent. And he became a great reformer and he wrote and he explained what he was doing. And you would think, dear friends, that looking at our world today and the faith and where our faith is, that we would be training the future shepherds in the spirit of Charles Borromeo and Robert Bellarmine and Ignatius of Loyola. Because you form according to how you train. But we don't train our priests, our future priests, to be reformers. They're too busy being diplomats. Do you know some people have reached out to me over the past couple of days about various homilies I have preached and said, oh, Father, you're so brave. You're so wonderful. What? No, that should not be the exception. Do you realize that St. Paul tells the priest that the apostolic gift of preaching is given to the priest to provoke conviction? I'm not here as your clown. And I'm not here to tell you cutesy stories to make you have warm fuzzies. If you want that, go to another parish. There are a lot of them here in this area. If you're truly worried about where you stand with the Lord Jesus, and you want to truly allow grace to form you and make you fit for the kingdom of God, if you believe in the reality of heaven and hell, and you understand the power of grace, and you truly want to allow the Lord Jesus to save you, as we hear in the scriptures today, work out your salvation in fear and trembling, then find you a good Roman Catholic parish and stay close to the sacraments. Find a priest who's willing to preach the gospel, even if there are times that it might not make you feel good or you don't particularly like what he's saying. Find a priest that doesn't care about that, but is more concerned with your salvation. That was Charles Borromeo.
Amen.
And this is why God raised him up. You know, he worked so hard that in his mid-40s, he literally dropped dead of exhaustion. What a wonderful way to go for the kingdom. To literally die from exhaustion for the sake of the kingdom of God.
Wow.
I think after martyrdom, that's the best way to go, right? To appear before the gates and say, Lord, I poured out everything for you and for your gospel, for your kingdom. That was Charles Borromeo.
Wow. Matthew, when I heard that and I sent it to our Bishop Strickland and I sent it to many of my priest friends, they all were like, Yeah, those are great points, and we need more priests like that. But I took notes. I don't know if you were able to take a few notes about him saying, you know, preach the gospel and, you know, not worry about people feeling good, but preach to make them uncomfortable and give them conviction. I just thought this was a wonderful 9 minutes. Your thoughts?
Well, of course, formation is so very important, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Without
it. And it always has been. And it's, you know, the idea that the seminary system really only came in the 16th century.
That's right.
I think it's going to be surprising for some people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, It's like now you have to go, you got to go to college to be a priest. You have to, you know, go through not just seminary, you have to go, you know.
Right.
But it's interesting that formation, though, has always been an issue. And spiritual formation for, you know, I think it's so important for our priests, of course, because they're the ones who are shepherding the flock and we're the flock, but it's important for us too, which is why, I mean, I'm always talking about this. I just happen to have an abridged copy of The Imitation of Christ in my hand right now.
Right. But no surprise.
It's about formation, and The Imitation was originally written for lay religious, right, who are part of a community of religious in the 15th century, back in the 1400s.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what he says, and this applies not only to religious, but to priests, I think, especially, and to us all, mm-hmm. as even the words of St. Paul do. But he says, we should serve God and others, but for the right reasons. He says, those who love God much do much, and those do a deed well who perform it for the common good and not to please themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Often what appears to be charity is really done for carnal motives. Self-love, the hope of a reward, yep, or some personal advantage seldom being absent.
Yep.
Right, that's what Father's railing about, is people that have, men, I should say, that have decided to treat the priesthood like a profession and not like a vocation.
Yep.
Right. And the problem is, of course, a great deal of that has to do with the way they're being formed. That's his point.
Yeah.
A campus says, how powerful is the pure love of Jesus when not mixed with self-interest or self-love? No. How many priests are taught to be disinterested?
Yeah.
Detached. I mean, that should be the starting point. He said, are not they to be called hirelings who always look for comforts?
Yeah.
And they who think only of their own advantage, do they not show themselves to be lovers of self rather than Christ? Where will a man be found ready to serve God without looking for a reward?
Wow. We're going to talk a little bit more about Father Kirby's homily regarding the church and the formation and how important that is. Hey, I want you to get good formation here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. That's what we try to do. Give you what the church has always taught. Stay with us, family. We'll be back after a quick break here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Hey, Terry Rodriguez, I'm a monthly donor here in Phoenix, Arizona. Retired Phoenix cop, and I've met Jesse before, and I just want to tell you guys were on fire yesterday on the Terry and Jesse show. You guys are on fire. I went to bed thinking, man, what an unwinnable war, but when I got up, I listened to you guys. You know, you guys are doing good work, man, doing God's work, and keep doing it. I know it gets exhausting sometimes, but there's people out here that really need the inspiration and the evangelization that you guys are giving us. So my best to you, and I'm Eddie Rodriguez, and I'm a monthly donor and proud of it.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. Terry Barber here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I'm encouraging people to support realestateforlife.org. They'll have a pro-life agent for you. California's laws for the family are really bad. If you have a young family and you can afford to get out of California, get out and make a new life somewhere where you're not going to have the repressive laws. For example, if your son wants to change his sex and you don't want that to happen, the school can take your child away from you. Yes, that's how bad it is, folks. That's why I'm encouraging you to go to realestateforlife.org. God bless you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold sitting in for Jess. Jess will be back tomorrow. We just heard Father Kirby's homily, 9-minute homily, talking about the importance of formation. And Matt, I knew he would pick up the imitation of Christ. I would have bet my house on that. Yeah. And we do have that on recording. If you go to CatholicRC.org, you can buy that on a download. Because sometimes people in this busy time that we're living in, they don't want to read books. If you want it read to you, we do have that. And I think that would be another way of getting this good formation. Matt, my other question to you is the connection, because people say, well, we've never been at this. Things are so bad. But did you hear what he said when he said that St. Charles Borromeo, as a bishop at the time, he saw the decadence that was going on. The world was really affecting the shepherds to a point where they were doing bad things, in the sense, things that are not part of their vocation, like, you know,
immoral things.
Immoral things. That's a good way of saying it. So we've had that before, and it doesn't surprise me that we have it going on today. I mean, here I live in Los Angeles County, and for most of my life, from 1970 to about 2012, all of our auxiliary bishops were not living chaste lives, okay? That just happened to me. You know, all of them, they were friends of mine, but they couldn't live the gospel because, I guess, the world, the devil, and the flesh was so strong. And this is why all of us, including myself, Matt, and all of the listeners, need to stay close to the sacraments and get good formation through Scripture and the Catechism. And if you hadn't gone to confession, I just make it halfway through the show, go to confession. You got Holy Week coming up next week. I know that there are a lot of parishes that have these penitential services. I just would encourage you, go to one that you actually go to the priest. Some of them are kind of crazy where they just do general absolution. And that's that's just an abuse, in my humble opinion. You should be able to get to a parish priest for confession, even this weekend, and don't wait for the penitential services. But Matt, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about how and I twisted my arm, right? The Imitation of Christ, that book, I mean, it's the second most read book in Christendom. And why do you think that book, you know, was written centuries ago, is still applicable to modern man today?
It's four books. And the first one is of useful admonitions, and the second one is about living a spiritual life. And the third one is about his interior dialogue, Thomas Kempis, the interior dialogues he has with Christ. It's, right. And it's written like a dialogue between Christ and the disciple. And then the fourth book is all about the Holy Eucharist. It's about, you know, receiving communion. So obviously all of those things, I mean, cultivating an interior dialogue is, I think, one of the things that's really missing from modern life. Mm. Psychologists talk about it all the time. We have this inner monologue, right? There's this inner monologue. Well, at least throughout the Middle Ages and before, I'm assuming that they really tried to cultivate in people an inner dialogue.
Yeah.
That you're not just talking to yourself day and night, but that you're actually talking to the Lord.
Amen. That's what prayer is.
And you know, it's about service, though. When you talk about the priesthood, and you know, Kempis talks about this. You know, there's a whole, there's a lot of, the first book and the second book, especially about serving God, right? Mm-hmm. And the various ways to do that, and he says that, you know, while you're in God's service, you don't worry about what's going to happen in the future. You worry about doing the will of God now.
Yeah.
Right. And for the priest, that's about service. You know, we just we had our last RCIA meeting before the you know, baptisms and all that are going to happen at the vigil.
Sure.
And I talked about the Triduum, you know, and it always, the episode about on Holy Thursday that always gets me is the washing of the feet.
Sure.
And I'll tell you a little story.
Okay.
When I'd been Catholic a year, I guess it was maybe 1997. And we didn't have a liturgist at our parish, a little parish. I was a gal though that helped out with the music ministry. And she said, you know, would you like to be a part of the washing of the feet on Holy Thursday? And I didn't know what she was talking about. So you know, I found out. And here's the thing. And I want to take you a little journey through scripture before I finish my story.
Sure.
Jesus presents himself at the Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist. And John says, no, you come to me for baptism. I should be baptized by you, right? He knows who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. And to baptize means to bathe. He's saying, you know, you want me to baptize you. He says, I'm not worthy even to stoop down and undo the latchet of your sandal, right? I'm not worthy to untie your shoes. What's he talking about? He's talking about, I'm not worthy to bathe you. I'm not even worthy to wash your feet. That's what he's talking about, on removing your shoes, right? Because sure. This was the work of a slave. The lowest kind of servitude was to wash someone's feet. And then you fast forward to the Last Supper, and Jesus removes his outer garment and gets a towel and a bowl of water and starts to wash the feet of the disciples.
Right.
Apostles, I should say. And Peter, of course, says, never will you wash my feet. He's so deeply scandalized by the Lord, humiliating himself in that way.
Right.
And he says, you will never wash my feet. And of course, Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you can have no part of me. And he says, well, then not just my feet, my head and hands too, right?
That's a great, that's
Peter.
I love that dialogue.
Yeah. Well, and it shows his personality. He's absolutely dead set against it. Now he's all in, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But the Lord proceeds to wash their feet.
Yep.
And then come back to me on that first Holy Thursday, and I'm sitting up here with these 12 men, and I've got one shoe off. And our pastor comes and kneels down and washes my foot, and it was humiliating for me.
Wow.
And that's the point. See, this is where what our Lord did differs from the Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that washing the feet isn't like, oh yeah, you wash my feet. It's like, no, it's humbling to have someone who is, you know, really your superior,
yep,
in the hierarchy of life, humble themselves and perform such a simple service. And what does Jesus then say to the apostles? He says, you call me Lord and master or teacher. And he says, and it's right that you do that because that's what I am.
Yep.
He says, so if I, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet.
Yep.
And what is he saying there? He's saying that if you are a priest of Christ, there is no service that is beneath your dignity.
Yep.
There is no act of service that no humiliation that you should not suffer to follow my example.
Yeah. You know, Matt, I'll tell you a little story that got me years ago, probably 45 years ago. I went to a Crecile retreat, De Caloris, you know, and mm-hmm. I went to the retreat. And it was time for breakfast, and who do I see serving the breakfast to me with a little, you know, white robe around, not robe,
apron.
Apron around him, was Cardinal Manning.
Wow.
And I'm probably 20 years old, maybe even 19. Probably, yeah, I think I was 19. And so that was like, I never even met a bishop, but I knew the cardinal was way up there. And right. Here he is asking me if I want some hot tea, would you like more eggs? My mouth dropped. Nobody told me the cardinal was coming to do this. And I found out that he does it every week for these Crecile retreats. And I thought, well, that is so marvelous. What a humble, you know, gesture to serve his flock by working in the kitchen and serving us.
Right. Well, and that's the point too. You found out about it because you went on the retreat and he was there.
Yeah.
It wasn't him talking about it.
No.
or pasting it all over the bulletin.
No.
Or right?
Yeah. No, nobody knew about it. As a matter of fact, when I tell the story, they say, are you kidding? It's never been in the newspaper. They never show pictures of him doing it. No, it was quietly done. That's the point. Matt, I'd like to shift gears, if we could, in the last segment, in the last minute here we have here. I want to talk about action items that Catholics are really stepping up to. In other words, Catholics and even people of goodwill are starting to say, wait a minute, this culture that we're in, we see it going down and falling apart in the family. And people are starting to say, wait, I don't agree. Because I'll tell you, the statistics of people supporting so-called same-sex marriage for the first time in 15 years has gone down. And so I'm wondering what that means. And I know you have a take on that. And then I have three more stories for the next segment of people being proactively standing up for the gospel. But give me your take. Why do you think people are not supporting homosexual so-called marriage now as much as before?
Well, you know, you had said that you thought that when we were talking before the program, that it was maybe that people are kind of waking up.
Yeah, I'm hoping. That's my positive attitude.
Right. And I wonder, though, how many of those people are people who always felt that way, who are just now finding the courage to speak up?
Yeah.
But not so much that they're changing their mind, but they're willing to, you know, kind of suffer the slings and arrows.
Yeah.
Because they realize what's at stake. I mean, if you're talking about waking up, I guess that's what it is people realizing this is the demise of Western civilization. If we don't, you know, and maybe you're saying, what, gay marriage? It's like, well, no, that's a symptom, right? But it's one of the flagship ones, because, you know, and so is abortion, of course.
Right.
If you can say, I'm for that, you know, if you won't draw the line there, where will you?
Right.
You know, and it's time. It is important for people to not just support, but to protect the institutions that have, you know, that changed the world. People don't realize the debt that they owe to Christ and to his church.
Big time. Well said. When we come back, we're going to talk about some pro-lifers and how they stood up at the St. Patrick's Parade, which started, are you ready for this, Matt? 1762. Okay.
Wow.
These parades have been going on. And what did they stand up for? Well, when we come back, we'll talk about that and much, much more. I know many of you were at the Spiritual Warfare Conference, and you're going to be getting recordings of those talks. But those who were not able to get there, you can go to vmpr.org and just pick up the recordings on virginmostpowerfulradio.org. I think you'll enjoy them with Bishop Strickler and Father Chad Ripperger. The best conference that we've had was over the weekend. Stay with us, family. We'll come back, inspire you with three positive stories about their faith. Here's a great way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You have an old car you want to get rid of, motorcycle, RV, or boat? Simply call 855-500-7433. And when they sell that vehicle, a portion of that money comes right back to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. It's an easy way to do it. I want to thank you for it. Call 855-500-7433. God love you and your family.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Absolutely. We're back. I got three good stories, Matt. We always like to look at problem-solution. Problem is sin. Solution is redemption in Christ. It's simple as that. One of the great stories that we have right now is about a... Well, hang on one second. I just got a little communication from Matt. Matthew, I'll interrupt myself before I tell the story. You'd like to add something about the conference recording?
You had mentioned that we have recordings for the Spiritual Warfare Conference.
Yes.
People can go and purchase them. And people that got the live stream, people that went there live, sure, actually get access to the recordings. Sure. We're selling access to the recordings. And you can immediately download have access to the recordings of the live stream. I have to tell you, mm-hmm, that, you know, that live stream recording, we had all sorts of technical issues. I mean, it's a spiritual warfare conference, yeah, and there was plenty of spiritual warfare going on. Let me tell you.
Sure.
But you know, please don't be upset or frustrated by that, because as soon as, you know, we recorded the audio separately.
Yes.
So even if you purchase this now and you get that instant access to the live stream recordings, we are editing those recordings with the full audio, and that will be available to you as soon as it's done.
Excellent. Okay,
so just want to let people know.
Thank you, Matt. All right. Well, pro-lifers were excluded again from the New York St. Patrick's Day parade, highlighted because of their abortion stance. And sure, as I said to you before, Matt, this parade goes way back to 1762.
I did not know that it went that far back.
Yeah, well, it's the world's oldest and largest celebration of Ireland's patron saint. There you go. I didn't know it either until I read the article. So yet those who support the religion of St. Patrick teaches about the sanctity of innocent life were excluded. You see the irony of it? It doesn't, mm-hmm, make any sense. Because what they see, many people, is just more of a tradition, nothing to do with spirituality. So,
right, it's more along the lines of what's happened to Halloween or St. Valentine's Day.
Yeah, exactly. So this large crowd of pro-life activists gathered peacefully Saturday on both sides of Fifth Avenue. I love it. They said, you know what, you're not going to let us in? Well, we're going to make our presence known. And as the marching units in the New York St. Patrick's Parade moved up and down past St. Patrick's Cathedral, they were brought to attention about the abortion crisis, a humanitarian disaster that spans the globe from Ireland to New York to small towns in America. So they handed out their material. The presence of this was a shocking decision by the parade organizers to exclude this pro-life group. And here's the kicker about it, Matt, that they were willing to take the heat by going out there and saying, no, we want to stand up for life. So I believe that, especially on the pro-life side right now, more Catholics, more Christians, more people in general are just coming up and saying, you know what? I don't think I want to support this issue of killing unborn babies, the future citizens of our country. So I think that we just need to keep the metal to the pedal in defending life. And I really just want to commend those lay people for standing up for the young babies that are being murdered through abortion. So thank you very much for that. I'm going to move to this. Unless you want to make a comment about that, I'll move to the second. Second story.
Go ahead.
This is interesting because we talked about what happened on St. Patrick's Day this week when President Biden had Father Jimmy Martin, and the Prime Minister of Ireland there.
Jimmy now, is it?
Yeah, Jimmy Martin. Father Jimmy Martin.
Okay.
He was there, and what's interesting is the president talked about in his speech about how, and also the Papal Nuncio was there. I want to forget him, the cardinal. And they were talking about how America's the home for the freedom for all people, young and old. And I'm thinking, really? What about the unborn baby? So obviously that wasn't there. But when the Archbishop Cardinal was asked to do the prayer, what I found was really fascinating and disappointing at the same time is that the Cardinal didn't bless himself to start the prayer, but the President of the United States, who's hell-bent on killing babies, blesses himself. And I thought, well, that's an interesting, you know, thing. But here's the news. Leo Varadkar shocked the Irish people because he said, I'm resigning from being the Prime Minister of Ireland. And it just comes weeks after the people of Ireland, the voters, delivered a landslide rejection of the government's proposed amendments to redefine marriage and motherhood and family. Now, Matt, basically, this openly homosexual Prime Minister of Ireland is sitting down, and he's just like, the people aren't going to support me, I'm done. Now, this was an amazing amount of Catholics in Ireland who said 67.7% voted for a national constitution not supporting homosexuality. So I'm wondering if maybe he's realizing his time is really limited because of Ireland is coming to its Catholic roots and saying, no, family first. So what's your take on that, Matt?
We were just talking about vocation and service, and that applies to us all. And it certainly applies to people in public life. Mm-hmm. The common good is, you know, it has to be at the heart of any, you know, politics or any kind of public service.
Yeah.
Clearly, this is a person who is motivated to change the Constitution of Ireland to recognize, you know, his pet issue. And when they didn't, he decided to take his glove and ball and go home.
Yep.
And that tells you one thing. That tells you that this person was not at all interested in the common good or in the service of his country.
Exactly.
He was concerned about a specific political agenda. And when he didn't get his way, he stormed off.
Yep. All right.
And that's pretty much everything you need to know, I think.
I agree. So, you know, there's some pushback, I'm saying, coming back from all around the world for the sanctity of life.
Well, that's the important point, really. I shouldn't overshadow that in my analysis. Mm-hmm. That really what we're talking about here in all of these stories,
all three stories,
is that Catholic people and people of goodwill generally mm-hmm. are starting to push back against the whole woke agenda thing. And I think the first place we've seen it in the fact that a lot of these companies are going broke, the people that are pushing this so hard.
That's right.
That doesn't attract people. I just real quick thing in November last year, Disney put out two films, one called The Marvels, which was one of their latest superhero movie, and another one called Wish, based on their song When You Wish Upon a Star. Mm-hmm. And they were both, you know, just filled with that woke agenda stuff. And they both failed miserably. They were huge.
Good.
And it's funny because I see that the filmmakers are blaming the audience. Well, it's, you know, they just don't like movies about strong this and, you know, whatever that. And it's like, no, you made movies people didn't want to see. And this is the thing. I think those young filmmakers, they go to college and they learn all this nonsense, and they learn that that the arts are not meant to express the truth, but to push your agenda. And they're finding out the hard way that people aren't not going to pay for stuff that they're not interested in. You know, maybe I'll allow that stuff to go by on Facebook or TikTok because it's free.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to lay down any 12 bucks to get preached at.
Right? You got it. Last one. NFL kicker Super Bowl champion Harrison Butker has called out the Biden administration for promoting the massacre of the unborn. What I like about it is he's well known in the NFL as the best, you know, kicker in the business. And he doesn't need to do this, but what does he do? He says, the unborn to me are the greatest victims in our society. He's spot on. And he says, unfortunately, there are some laws being pushed through that I don't think the value of human life, he said, is one of those laws is allowing abortion to be legal in this country. And he says, They don't have a voice. He said, they're not very big. They can't fight for themselves. There are not a lot of people that are fighting for them. And I just think it's a great atrocity that occurs in this country with massacring unborn. He said, I feel like there's no other place to send this message than to the masses and represent the unborn at a place like the White House. Well, unfortunately, their voice is not heard, the NFL star said. And here's the point I'm making. He stood up for the unborn. I'm sure there's going to be repercussions for him speaking up like that. But that he's willing to take a hit. Again, three stories all on pro-life. All people saying, no, we need to stand up for the little ones. And you know what? That's so biblical, Matthew, isn't it?
It is.
What you do to the least of my brother, you do unto me.
Right. This is religion pure and undefiled, that you care for widows and orphans.
There you go.
There it is.
All right.
I got to say this. Something really significant happened.
A couple minutes. Go ahead.
Kamala Harris.
Yes.
She's campaigning for Biden's reelection.
Right.
On one issue, which is we're going to keep abortion legal. In fact, you know, he said, the Supreme Court be darned, I'm going to make Roe v. Wade the law of the land again.
Right, he did say that. Hell-bent on killing
babies. Sure you can. Well, you can't really do that, but okay. And they're putting all their eggs in that basket. And Kamala Harris did something really surprising. She campaigned on this abortion issue at a Planned Parenthood.
First time.
Presumably while abortions were being performed in the building. I mean, as far as I know.
Yep.
This is like somebody who's pro-Hitler, having a rally at Auschwitz.
Yep.
You know, it's really, the optics are not good, is what I'm trying to say, when it comes to, you know, regular people and the way they live. And this is, I think, a note of hope that we should all recognize that a lot of this stuff, it's the last gasp of progressivism.
Yep.
They're pushing really, really hard because they know they're losing the people.
I agree.
And they're going... And it is, what's the primordial sin? Even before the creation of man, the primordial sin is pride.
Right.
This is what calls, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky, right? Because of pride. And that's the thing. The devil, he always does that. He always starts taking his bow before the last curtain falls.
Wow. That's true.
We've seen it happen.
And this is why I say, keep praying, everybody. Keep your prayers coming. Make sacrifices for these people. Pray for their conversions. Matt Arnold, what state should we be living in, brother?
Not the state of California or the state of New York or state of confusion. It is the state of grace.
Wow. Amen. I want to also remind you, I do it every day. Why? Because it's important that souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. Our Lady said that at Fatima. I want to encourage you to look at the Fatima message. And online, read what Our Lady is saying. This is for our time. And she says that we can offer up our prayers in union with the sufferings of Christ to help redeem the world. Sign me up. I don't care if you're 4 years old or 104. We can all participate in that great work. You remember when Mom would say, offer it up, Terry. Mom, thank you for telling me that, because I'm passing it on to my kids. And now the next set of generations getting it. Thank you. For joining us here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you, Matt Arnold. Thank you, our support. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh, my Jesus,
I
beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.